Hi there, welcome along to this week's Sweet Spot, the Racing Post weekly golf show. I'm Bruce Millington, he's Steve Palmer, and in the next half hour or so, we will be reflecting on the Masters, a majestic win for Jon Rahm, picking through the bones, looking at all the angles, and then we will set our sights on the RBC Heritage, the only tournament that takes place this week. But what a tournament! Loads of big names, including the man himself. No sooner has he taken off his green jacket than he's heading over to see if he can go back-to-back. We'll see what Steve makes of his chances. First of all, Steve, give the Masters a rating, an overall rating out of 10.
Well, pleasure percentage, you sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, pleasure percentage.
Oh, it would be a zero for me from a pleasure point of view, yeah.
But it brought you zero pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, zero pleasure for me.
It can't be zero.
No, it was. It was definitely zero. I think I just thought it was so sad what happened to Rory McIlroy. I mean, if you took betting out of it, it would still be about one because I just thought it was tragic what happened to Rory McIlroy. Obviously, we've got a lot to discuss, including that. But
multi-millionaire Mrs. Cut. How's that a tragedy?
Well, yeah, you're very, 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 very positive way of looking at it. But yeah, Rory's a good personal friend of mine, and he's gone into hiding pretty much. You know, he's supposed to be playing this week, and we've not heard a dicky bird from him. I think Rory McIlroy is going to take him a long while to get over this one. And yeah, I'm nowhere near over it. Yeah, I'm still shell shocked. No, I appreciate you trying to be positive. That is the best way.
I refuse to let a golf tournament drag me down. I know that you are closer to the action. It is more your job than it is mine. But I mean. My main thing about the Masters, my overriding thought about the Masters is that we so narrowly avoided this being known as the 2023 Masters tragedy. Yeah. I mean, those trees coming down like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get over it.
What are the odds on no one being hit there?
Well, that's that's my point.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. Does it make you believe in Jesus? I know you're.
No,
a big,
it doesn't.
Jesus. Yeah, surely Jesus has had a role there because, they come down quite quick. There's people just sitting there, little old ladies sitting there.
I know.
Yes, it is miraculous that none of them.
That's the whole point. And once that happens, if you've lost your bets, then that's fine. You weren't. You know, I literally still look at that video and cannot believe. That nobody was underneath those trees when they fell. Because you'd think in the kind of chaos of trying to avoid them, you'd almost inadvertently bump into each other and block your escape paths. It's extraordinary, absolutely amazing. So
do you think there's someone at fault there for that? I mean, should they have known that those trees were coming down? I mean, they knew the bad
of course not. If someone knew that they were going to come down,
should have had some rope around them or something, if you ask me. But,
no,
what would have happened if there had been a fatality there? Would that have been the end of the golf tournament?
Yeah, of course it would. Yeah, yeah. They'd have called it all off. Yeah. Exactly. I knew you were getting to that. Nothing about the poor people who would have lost their lives. Would you have got your Rory money back? You're terrible.
No, you're right. No, it was nice. No, there were some heartwarming stuff. Yeah, I suppose I'll push it up to one then on the basis that no one died in those trees.
What about Sam Bennett? That was a lovely story
wasn't it? Okay, one and a half.
Doing it for his dad, that was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, Sam Bennett tale. The tattoo for his dad. Yeah, his dad died of Alzheimer's, I believe.
Very young.
And what does the tattoo say?
It says, don't wait to do things or something.
Don't wait to do something. Yeah, which is sound advice. It's sound advice. Great story, Sam Bennett. Okay, 1.75.
All right, I'll try and push out one more. What about the brilliance of Butch Harmon? Oh, they used him so much, didn't they, Sky, which was brilliant. He was absolutely great, as always. I always think that if you've got Butch Harmon and Wayne Riley conversing during a sports broadcast, you're in good shape. I mean, those two are just fantastic, aren't they?
Well, we've got the gravitas back. I'm often yearning for gravitas during the Sky broadcast. And you're Nick Faldo. Yeah, I like Nick Faldo. I know you're not a huge Nick Faldo fan, but I liked having Nick Faldo on the broadcast.
Do you? I don't know what he brings. I think Butch Harmon talks twaddle. I think he just talks absolute twaddle.
I just like having big names and I like Fowler's contribution. Butch Harmon, fantastic. Okay.
So we're getting there. I'll get into double figures by the end of the broadcast.
Yeah, keep going. But what players do you want to discuss?
Jon Rahm, the champion. Jon Rahm. What an absolutely amazing performance. I mean, he had the people in his wave, if you like, had such a bad time with the draw, didn't they?
Yes.
And so, it really would have been pretty unjust if he hadn't won. But on Sunday just ground down Brooks Koepka. And it was funny. It was like I was just reading about his club foot. You forget about the fact he's born with a club foot, don't you? And just how that's modified his swing. There was a really interesting article there. They were saying that within 20 minutes of being born, they worked on resetting the bones in his foot. Absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. He's a short backswing, isn't it? And a lot of control. I mean, I thought he put a lot of pressure on Brooks Koepka with just how well he played on Sunday. That final round performance from Rahm was particularly impressive. How many majors is this man going to win? It's going to be significant, isn't it? He's going to be an all-time great for me.
He's 28, isn't he?
28. So yeah.
Two masters down. How many do you reckon he'll end up with?
I think at least six, actually. Yeah.
I'd be going over six.
I think he's that good, and the confidence is oozing out of him now.
What about the Ram Slam, or should it be the Ram Slam? Could that happen?
He's going to be making a course debut in the next three, isn't he? So I don't know about the Ram Slam. I'm certain he's going to win more majors. You know, it's easy to have knee-jerk reactions after this and start predicting that Jack Nicklaus is under threat. But I do think six is a minimum for this man.
It was like last year where we were thankfully on Scheffler, so we enjoyed his procession. But if you're not on the guy who's miles in front, just, you know, waltzing to victory, it can be a little dull, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder what price he went out to after one hole. I mean, we should mention his start, because Rahm backers after that first hole would have been having kittens, wouldn't they?
He four putted the first green. It was including a three putt from absolutely nowhere, and he went out to 16-1, believe it or not.
Oh wow! I'm glad you got the answer for me. Yeah,
I had a look.
This shows the improvement in the temperament of Rahm, doesn't it? Because in the past, very volatile character, and the head came off very easily. He actually spoke after winning the Masters about his goldfish memory. Did you see that? He says that to be a great golfer, you have to have a goldfish memory. So you have to forget about the mistakes after 10 seconds and move on. And he's definitely got better at that.
Yeah. He birdied the next two. So he's level par through three and away he went. I mean, that was a brilliant first round, wasn't it? I think it was -9 for the last 17 holes. Extraordinary.
And it would have been easy for his head to come off during the bad weather and being on the wrong side of the draw. But maturity. You can't put a price on maturity. One day we'll get there.
Absolutely. Brooks Koepka, really interested to see him back, wasn't it? He'd obviously won on Live the Sunday before, and he put in a great performance. Just couldn't quite sustain it. Those four-round tournaments you're not used to. But a real signal that Brooks is back, wouldn't you say?
Oh, emphatically, Brooks is back. Yeah, the way he was driving over the first 3 days, he was swinging so freely. And I think, you have to see it, don't you? You have to see it with your own eyes whether he's fully fit or not. And he was sort of dancing down the hills. He's crouching down for putts. You know, that knee was a real problem, so much so that he couldn't read putts properly because he couldn't get down. But yeah, the knee is fully fit now. That's the first time he's played the Masters healthy for a long time and contended. Cook was a threat in all the majors now. That full swing episode is dated, isn't it? I was thinking
he was
that,
so down during that, wasn't he? I've really
absolutely
felt for him.
Because he's desperate to win. He just builds his whole life around winning, and it wasn't happening for him. And I think he would have been in mistaken playing if I hadn't watched Full Swing. Yeah, because Full Swing made it look like a washed up golfer. Yeah, a golfer that had given up on himself. But that was filmed when he was still carrying injury problems and struggling. But this year he's got fully fit. He reunited with Claude Harmon, Butch's son, and they've been, by all accounts, they've been working really hard this year. And that form he showed in Orlando the previous week was no fluke. Yeah,
my favorite aspect of that episode was how he was really morose and miserable about how he'd lost his form, but his girlfriend was just, is it his girlfriend or his wife?
His wife to be, I think they have got married now. Yeah,
but she was just so relentlessly upbeat, wasn't she? And he was just sitting there moping around about the fact he couldn't hold putts, and she was like holding up this bikini or that bikini, saying which one do you like best. He's like, I can't be doing with that.
But she was talking about getting married. They were about to get married, weren't they? And she was talking about wedding plans, but he had no interest because he must be a difficult character to be around when he's not winning.
He had a nice dog.
He did have a nice dog.
See, there you go. Another thing for you, that maybe that would have lifted your mood if you had a nice dog to stroke during the final round.
It's true. It's true. I think Kupka's going to win majors again. And he's already on four, you know. Yeah, talk about Rahm getting six. You know, how many is Kupka going to win? There's one firm made him 10 to 1 for the US Open. They're a total slash.
That's amazing, really, tens.
Yeah. There's a lot of respect in the market again for Kupka.
Let's talk about Phil Mickelson next, shall we? What an incredible performance by Phil to be joint second with Brooks. I mean, a fantastic final round. Sorry, I'm sounding like one of those hideously chummy Sky commentator, Phil Brooks. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, I mean, I'm just carried away by how well he played. And he slimmed down, hasn't he? He's lost a lot of that fat. That he was getting quite podgy, old Phil, wasn't he? But
yeah, he's talked about how the key to his longevity is not muscle building. It's just looking after the body. And he drinks loads of coffee. He was talking about coffee and the antioxidants in the coffee. He's a big advocate for coffee. So I'm going to try and start drinking a bit of coffee now and see if I can have the same level of longevity. I mean, Phil, if I can just call him Phil helped Brooks a lot, because Brooks was obviously coming under fire on the social medias because he played great for three rounds and then didn't play well in the final round. So it was all the LIV Golf jokes were out. These livers are only used to three rounds, they can't handle it. But then obviously Mickelson shot the best Sunday round of anyone in the field. You know, that 65 was incredible. It just shows how much experience as an asset at Augusta. He's been playing rubbish for ages. Mickelson just turns up and just, he knows his way around, and he's been drinking his coffee. So he's 52 years of age, and that will greatly encourage Rory McIlroy, who we must discuss. How many Masters attempts has McIlroy still got in him?
Well, should we talk about McIlroy now? Should we address that one?
yes. Yeah, I'm up to about 2.5. So that now
we'll start. Good. Let's erode that. Let's wipe that pleasure away. I mean, it was just an all-round wretched performance, wasn't it? He couldn't par. It was just all over the place, wasn't it? It was appalling.
Yeah. I mean, the Thursday 72 was poor, wasn't it? He came out with a late tee time. There was minus seven on the board. So, perfect conditions. We spoke about it afterwards, how important it was to get a score on the board. It didn't happen. He had that mid-round interview, which I know you've got plenty to say about. You don't think that was a factor, do you?
I don't. I think it's false narrative.
I think the mid-round interview was unhelpful. It added a layer of pressure. Because I don't think it was... I don't think it was that hole that it was a problem. And he cruised through the interview. He's incredibly calm during the interview. I mean, if they come to me at that point, I can't spake at that point.
Yeah, I know. But you haven't got the same mental sort of balance as the average pro golfer.
He was serene during the interview, but I think you must know it's not just that hole, is it? That was on the ninth hole, but I think he knows it's coming. And like when he's putting for bogey on the seventh hole, he knows that if he misses that putt for bogey on the seventh hole, he's got a nice topical double bogey to discuss in 10 minutes. So I just think it added an unhelpful layer of pressure. I'm not saying it's a huge factor.
He just played bad golf for 2 days. I'm not saying he played terrible golf for 2 days, didn't he?
So let's fast forward to Friday. And then on Friday, obviously he's under even more pressure to shoot a low score because he's so far behind. And again, he gets great conditions. Yeah, he's on the right side.
I know.
He's on the right side.
No excuses.
It's a perfect drive at the first hole. Then he was a bit tentative with the wedge. So a par at the first is disappointing from there. And at the second hole, he just hacked his way at the second hole, long with the approach.
Are we getting the whole round here?
No, just the first three holes, because I thought the first three holes on Friday were just so crucial, because then he had a really clumsy chip on the third. So he's two over par through three on the Friday, and the wheels were off, and he couldn't get the wheels back on. I mean, I think the difficult truth here, we have to address the difficult truth, is that it was a mental failure, wouldn't it? Because in his previous start in the WGC match play, we talked about it, his driving was excellent, his irons were good, his short game was good, his putting was good, his A game was there for Augusta. Turns up at Augusta, driving was bad, irons were bad, short game was bad, putting were bad. If you have that sudden dip in all departments of the game, it just has to be mental. And I wish I could advise him on what to do from here, because he can't admit that. He can't encourage your Rahms and your Scheffers by saying, oh yeah, I completely choked on my big opportunity. He can't admit it. I think he's got to fake an injury. If I was a McIlroy advisor now, if I was a McIlroy advisor, maybe he's watching this because he's gone into hiding.
Yeah.
Just fake an injury. Say that you fell in the shower on Thursday morning, injured your wrist, didn't want to tell anyone, didn't want to make any excuses. Say you got your todger trapped in the bathroom door. You say you're uncomfortable. You're really uncomfortable for 48 hours. I couldn't concentrate because I had a sore todger. Just come up with anything. and then work from there. Because if you just hold
your head, how's that going to help?
Because he needs an excuse that's not mental. He can't just admit to his rivals, I just completely bottled it. He has to fake an injury. So I hope he does. He's pulled out of this heritage event because he just wants to lie down in a darkened room. You know, it's very controversial. You know the full details of this withdrawal is very controversial because.
It's an
elevated designated event. You're only allowed to miss one of them. He missed the Century Tournament Champions, so he's breaking the rules that he's created.
Yeah, because he was all for this, wasn't he? They were created for the likes of him to stop him defecting.
Absolutely, and the punishment for missing a second one is you lose your PIP money, your Player Impact Program money. So yeah, I think under the rules that he's helped create, he's going to lose 75% of his PIP money, and his PIP money was $12 million. So if the rules are going to be adhered to, he's going to lose 75% of $12 million for missing the heritage.
But nine mil.
Yeah, that's how much he wants to stay at the spotlight.
If he'd said he'd hurt himself, maybe not in the lurid way you described, he'd be able to take a sick note to the doctor and reclaim his 9 mil.
Yeah, I only described it in that lurid way because he wants an injury that will clear up quickly. That one could be a 48-hour injury.
Can you imagine all the golf photographers would be taking pictures of his groin? And no, it would be a terrible thing to do. I don't think he's going to reach out to you for advice there, mate. But I know it's well meant.
I don't know what the solution is, but it was just a psychological thing. And you know what I think the answer? Going forward, I know you love saying going forward. I think. For analysing Macro in this tournament going forward, if he's 33-1 or shorter for the Masters, don't back him. If he's 33-1 or bigger and he comes into the event with no weight of expectation, he's missed a few cuts, he'll have a chance. He'll probably play with more freedom. I mean, the human brain is just a flawed piece of kit, isn't it?
It certainly is.
If ever you want evidence that the human brain is a flawed piece of kit, Rory McIlroy last week in the Masters, there's no way he can play badly. Given the evidence in the lead up to that tournament, other than if the human brain fails,
who knows, mate? Who knows? Anyway, we move on. I mean, talking about the fears of players defecting to live, there's one player that I want to defect to live. In fact, I want him to go to the Arctic. I never want to see him on a golf course again. I detest him.
Yeah,
Patrick Slowplay, you're a disgrace, but not as big a disgrace as the officials who let you get away with it because they're so gutless that they don't police the slow play rules. It makes me sick.
I better get the sick bag out for you.
It's absolutely disgusting. Nearly 5 hours to play a two ball.
I'll tell you what.
Absolutely appalling.
And you know who's behind that group?
Yeah. The big two,
and Brooks Koepka, a notoriously fast player, hugely frustrated by it. Koepka said that John Rahm had 7 bathroom breaks during the final round. Obviously, they didn't show them during the coverage, but that's why it didn't look so bad, because Rahm was just strategically just heading off for a quiet moment in the toilet. But Brooks Koepka, I think, was more frustrated than anyone by Cantlay's
play. Well, Hovland got the ump with it as well, didn't he? His playing partner. Cantlay's an appalling character. He's so selfish. It's just disgusting. It's against all rules of good sportsmanship. Like I say, it's really up to the officials to police it properly. The only time they've ever clamped down on slow play was that poor 14-year-old amateur. Do you remember who was playing Britain? And they actually penalised him. It's disgusting. Yeah. Slow play is the curse of golf. I watched him a couple of times lining up putts or lining up shots, and it is the most painful spectacle of all time. And the putts were rubbish. He was playing really rubbish shots.
Yeah, he missed a lot of short putts.
Boring individual.
Particularly on a day when they didn't have much time. If it had gone to a playoff, it would have been all down to Cantlay if they didn't crown a champion that night. And as you say, it's just so random as to how they punish it, isn't it? It's just pick on a little fella from overseas, 14-year-old or whatever, and I think everyone is rounding on Cantlay. You're not just the only one. There's a real sort of anger among his peers and the golfing public. It's all centered on one man, so factor that into your calculations for this week, because he's got a great record on the tournament they're about to go to, and a lot of people are backing, but even him with they obviously got the skin of a rhinoceros. Surely going to be a little bit affected by the level of hate towards him.
Yeah, he might get heckled. I hope he does. He should get heckled. It should be on the ticket. Heckle slow players. But no, seriously, it's up to the officials. You've got rules. They're absolutely hard and fast. They're not ambiguous. Apply them. If people are being too slow, put them on the clock. And if they carry on being slow, dock them points. It's so simple.
Patrick Candelay is becoming his new
name. Oh, that's a good name, isn't it? Yeah. Have we got anyone else we want to talk about? Let's talk about Scheffler, because that was uncharacteristic. You're talking about the mental side of the game. In it was either round two or three, I can't remember. He was getting so flustered, I'd never seen anything like it. And his poor caddy seems to be copping the brunt of it as well.
Yeah. He did have a very, very, he was very combustible last week. Yeah, even before the tournament started on the Tuesday, perhaps worrying about the Tuesday night dinner that we were discussing, I saw him having a go at his putting coach. He was getting very animated with his putting coach and shouting at him on the putting green. I was thinking, this is not your usual Scottish Scheffler, is it? So, we talked about the curse of defending champions. I think it's just, he wasn't comfortable. He was all smiles afterwards, though, and, he got his putting sorted. He putted abysmally early on. Sorted his partner over the weekend, and going forward, I think he'd be all right. But
okay.
I don't like any of the big names this week. It's crazy to have a designated elevated event straight after the Masters, as Rory McIlroy will be appreciating.
I suspect what they've done is they don't want people bombing out of the Masters and going, do you know what, I'm going to sack it off and go to live. So they've put this on as a kind of an attempt to stop that happening.
Okay.
I don't know. I might be completely wrong. Yeah, it sounds like you're busting to look ahead rather than reflect on what was such an annoying week for you. Is there anyone else you want to mention, though, or anything you want to mention about the course? What I will say is that one thing you did get right last week, Steve, you said that rain, that heavy rain on Saturday wouldn't necessarily stop play. I mean, they stayed out there for a lot longer than they would at most courses, given how torrential it was. Incredible what they've built there.
Yeah, on the Monday, I think I offered you 100-1 the Monday finish, the previous Monday. So I was a bit nervous about that. But that sub-air system is incredible, and they organised it well. I thought it was a fantastic tournament, and I think, if you want to talk about something else, talk about the how well the LIV players played. It wasn't just that Mickelson and Kupka, it was Patrick Reed
was good, wasn't he? Yeah.
The idea that that light LIV schedule rules you out as a major contender, it was put to bed last week, really.
Absolutely. Okay, should we draw a line under it?
Let's draw a line. I'm going to have a bit of coffee like Phil Mickelson advises.
Good man. Well, hopefully it'll make you tip even better on this week's one tournament. It's the RBC Heritage. I think it's Harbour Town, Hilton, somewhere. I don't know, various words, South Carolina, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you all about the market situation, and then Steve can fill you in on the
course. That's award-winning commentary. In Rodden, award-winning commentary. That's the sort of thing. I'll just say some words.
Yeah, I just created a word salad. I don't know. You'll be able to iron it all out. But here's the key bit. Here are the leading contenders in the market, and it'll show you what a great tournament we've got ahead of us. Scotty Scheffler, 8-1 favourite. John Rahm, 9-1. Boo! Patrick Cantlay. I'm even going to read your name slowly so you can hear it. You're 12-1. I hope. I might have to back him, actually, just to avoid being so sickened to my core. He's 12-1. Colin Morikawa, 18. Jordan Spieth, 20. Victor Hovland, 22, along with Tony Finau. Along with Cameron Young, then we've got 25-1, Xander Schauffele and Justin Thomas. Max Homer's 28, so's Matt Fitzpatrick, Im is 25, Lowry's 28, 33 bar. Everyone bar Rory there, really. What another great tournament we've got. I mean, normally this one's okay. One or two of them stay on and try and follow up from Augusta, don't they? But this is a real star-studded affair. Are you excited about it?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's normally your Cantlays and your Jordan Spieths like to turn up here. But it's astonishing to see such a good field here. And dollar speaks, $20 million in the kitty, $3.6 million to the winner. It's hard to turn down, particularly if you're under that sort of contractual obligation to be there. We've got 143 runners going to post, was 144 until McIlroy pulled out. It's the Harbourtown Links, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina.
Oh, I was almost right, wasn't I?
Almost right. Extended to 7,213 yards this year. It's a par 71. Only three par fives, a peak die design. It's been around for about 50 odd years. Accuracy on approach is the key to success. Very tiny greens here. So you've got to scramble well as well, because everyone misses greens at Harbourtown. Weather forecast, not bad. Sunny and calm for the most part, just some small thunderstorm threats on Friday and Sunday. Hopefully they've got the trees nailed down.
Probably anchored, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the one with the lighthouse by the 18th?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And is there a big tree on the 18th as well?
Well, it's an unmissable fairway, isn't it, pretty much? One of the widest fairways on the tour, and then a really tough approach. Yeah, there's probably some trees somewhere, yeah.
Okay, mate. Right, how many selections have you got?
I've got three.
Three? Just the three? Okay.
Just the three.
Right then, who do you like the most?
I think the best bet by a long way is Matt Kuchar at 50-1, who won this tournament in 2014. He's always relished the Harbortown links. You can go all the way back to 2005. 2005, he turned up off the back of three consecutive missed cuts on the PGA Tour. After this tournament, he missed five cuts in a row. But at the Harbortown links, he finished 10th. So even amid, you know, some of the most dismal form of his career, he still managed to score at this track. He was 7th in 2008, 14th in 2010, 5th in 2015, 9th in 2016, 11th in 2017, runner-up in 2019, beaten by just a shot, 3rd last year. Kuchar on the Harbortown links, match made in heaven. He's got one weakness, his lack of driving distance. It's almost an irrelevance here. Tidy approach play, chip well, putt well, Kuchar's modus operandi, as Rod Studd, who's sitting near you, likes to say quite often. And look at Kuchar's form coming into this particular edition. Started the year with 7th place in the Sony Open, 8th in the Genesis Invitational in February. Lovely little run in the WGC match play. He's now won as many matches in that tournament as Tiger Woods. It was a real feather in his cap. You could see Kuchar as proud as punch when they told him that. He beat Victor Hovland in the match play, won his group. And then last time out in the Texas Open, went very, very close to winning that, finished 3rd. He was gutted to miss the Masters, but keeps him fresh and motivated for the Heritage. He's still got plenty to offer, Kuchar. He's 5 days older than me.
Wow, is he really? You look miles better than Matt Kuchar, I've got to say.
I'd like to think that he's not done winning yet, and I like to think I'm not done winning yet.
No, does that console you when you sometimes think you're aging and you think, hang on a sec, no, I'm 5 days younger than Matt Kuchar, that's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, if I can still finish 3rd in the Texas Open, then I've still got plenty to offer.
Did you see last week, it was a very funny clip, the TalkSport breakfast show presenters, they did a little roundup of who they fancy for the Masters, and Ray Parler did something, and Danny Murphy, and then Dean Saunders piped up and he said, I fancy Matt Kuchar. He said his prep's really good, he's accurate, he'll love it around here, it'll be great. And then they got him back on and Brazil said to him, what price did you get? And he said 25-1 or something. He says, is that what time he's teeing off? He goes, I don't know what time he's teeing off. He goes, he's not teeing off, he's not playing. It was brilliant. They absolutely wrecked him.
What a great shame. But yeah, that week off would have done him good.
In terms of the heritage. What price is Matt Kuchar again?
50-1. 50-1, because you've got lots of disinterested multimillionaires hogging the market. I just can't see Rahm and Scheffler being motivated and focused for this. Yeah, they don't want to be here. It's obvious.
Okay, Matt Kuchar is Steve's leading fancy. Who do you think's the next best?
It's Christian Bezuidenhout at 100-1, a sweet spot regular. We're still waiting for that PGA Tour breakthrough. I think it could come this week, despite all the big names being here. I mean, it's worth saying 4 of the last 7 winners of the Heritage were PGA Tour maidens. Yeah, they've obviously never had to face a field as good as this one. But Bezuidenhout now, I think, will become a PGA Tour champion. He's won 3 times on the DP World Tour. He made his President's Cup debut last year. Like Kuchar, lack of driving distance is his main weakness. Not an issue at Harbortown. They're all playing their second shots from the same places. It's that sort of track. He's accurate. His short game is excellent. Solid Heritage results of 28-33 and rounding nicely into form. He was 13th in the Players' Championship, 28th in the Texas Open. His iron play has been fantastic in the last few outings. This is a 28-year-old who's ready to step up a level.
Okay. Before Steve gives us his third tip, don't forget, as always, we'd love to hear from you. Please do like, comment, subscribe and share. Hit that thumbs up button and leave us a comment. Tell us who you fancy. What was your Masters reaction? What was your main takeout from there? And do you share my hatred of slow golf?
Were there many Rahm backers last week? I mean, he was unpopular, wasn't he, for that to be that high up the market? Because that month he had really put people off. He had a bad month right before the Masters. I mean, I'm disappointed with myself. I'm sickened by myself. That was a red herring, wasn't it, that month? I let myself down putting too much stock in that. That
so last hard part. On yourself, aren't you? Honestly, why do you do it?
Red herring is a red herring, but for a 9-1 chance, I think he would have been, you know,
one of the better results. Yeah,
incredibly unbacked 9-1.
Incredible. Anyway, right on. So Kucha, Badiesenhout. No, is it Badiesenhout or Badiesenhout? It's Badiesenhout, isn't it? I always get that
wrong. Christian Badiesenhout.
That's it. And then third tip is?
It's JT Poston. And another one has been backed. 66-1 is still available. I think that's fair. He's a Carolinian. We're in South Carolina this week. He's a North Carolina boy, comfortable in this part of the world. He went to Western Carolina University, two-time PGA Tour champion. The breakthrough for JT Poston came in North Carolina in the 2019 Wyndham Championship. And then he won last year's John Deere Classic in fine style. His Harbour Town record, absolutely superb. Form figures of 6-8, missed cut 3. Closed with a 64 last year to finish third. He's got all the tools for this assignment. He's always been a wonderful putter. And his recent efforts, yeah, are really, really eye-catching. He was 10th in the Valspar Championship a month ago. Then he won all three of his group matches in the WGC match play. It's not often that happens. Like, a few players did it this year, but it's just a real feather in your cap to win all three of your group matches. His scouts were Tommy Fleetwood, Sung Jae Im, and Maverick McNealy. Cool. And then in the last 16, he took Scotty Scheffler to the 18th green. He really put the willies up Scotty Scheffler. And then last time out, last week, playing in only his second Masters, finished 34th. Closed with a 70, really good round on Sunday. Only six players in the field scored better than JT Poston at Augusta on Sunday. So, I really like the. Yeah, I got three each way bets I really like in a field where the market leaders make zero appeal.
Okay, we'll talk about the market leaders in a sec, but I do just want to say it's interesting. You're tipping the kind of unflamboyant golf you don't normally go for. Do you find it? Do you like doing that? I know you're such a swing snob and you like these kind of young swashbuckling cocksure types. Yeah. So, is it? Do you find it sort of odd to have to go the other way and pick the kind of steady eddies?
Yeah. I think this is a queer week. This is a queer week because, normally the players at the top of the market there will impress me. And, obviously I'll rate them very highly. But this particular week, I just don't think any of them can have focus. I think all of them are fatigued. And all of them are there under duress. No one's put a gun to their head, but I think it's contractual obligations that are put in there. So, yeah, I think this is a week for an unfashionable player to make a bigger impact. Obviously the most aesthetically pleasing player in the sport let me down very badly last week. So perhaps it's time. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Some ugly swingers.
Well, let's talk about the market leader. Scotty Scheffler just about favoured over John Rahm. Would you agree with that?
With John Rahm, they're both 9-1, aren't they? Does John Rahm want to be here? I would suggest not. Is he going to be fully focused? I would suggest not. Is he going to be jaded? I would suggest yes. Is he going to... is 9-1 worth backing on a fiddly little course? He's only played it once before, finished 33rd, putted out of his skin and finished 33rd. I would suggest not.
Okay. Scheffler.
Scheffler's never played it before. We mentioned how the Masters was a very long week for him. And on the Tuesday, he seemed to be mentally imploded on the Tuesday, let alone the weekend. So, yeah, I just can't have it. I think you're mad, Patrick, aren't they? If you're going to back him, haven't I?
Yeah,
his record's fantastic in this. And if he doesn't let the thing, if he doesn't let all the negative press bother him, which he might be the sort of character that's not going to let him, his attitude would be, I'm gaining an advantage here. I'm taking more time than everyone else.
It'll encourage him.
Yeah, he's got away with it. And
he's got that arrogance about him. He just doesn't care.
I think Cantlay and Morikawa will be the two I'd lean towards at the top of the market. But I think the time has come to get away from it all.
Let's do that punishing thing. So who's the last one off the list?
Yeah, I mean, it would be Colin Morikawa, yeah. If Colin Morikawa's revved up for this and hasn't won for a while, so you could say he'd be more motivated than a lot of them. His iron play is a huge asset to Harbour Town Link. So yeah, Morikawa, I suppose.
All right, mate. Excellent. We done?
I think so.
How's your pecker now compared to when the show started?
Oh, I still look back on the mark with a one. I go, yeah, you've got it up by one. we did all right in the subsidiary markets, but you know me, the outright is the one I live for.
You live for, don't you? Yeah.
I live for the outright market, and that went terribly wrong. So the subsidiaries count for nothing. No, yeah, we're on one. I'm going to Cornwall tomorrow to get.
Oh, lovely.
You talk about Rory McIlroy going into hiding. I mean, Yeah, I'm off to Cornwall to sort of spring clean my
head.
How
long for?
Just for three nights.
Oh, lovely. That'll be nice, won't it? Are you back next week on the show?
Yes, back next week. Yeah. Hopefully come back refreshed for next week's battles. We've got four tournaments next week, haven't we?
Have we really? What have we got? I know we've got the New Orleans Classic, haven't we?
It's a quadruple header.
We've got Live down in Australia, I think, aren't they?
You're right. You're absolutely right. We've got Live Golf Adelaide.
Ispshander. Have we got that?
Yeah. Can you guess where that is?
Denmark.
Japan.
Blimey, close.
Yeah, so we got,
and then what?
And then we've also got a Lady Major, if I may call it that. The Chevron Championship.
Goodness me. It's golf around the clock then, isn't there?
Yeah, you got a quadruple header, then the week after that you got a triple header. So, I mean, you just
marvelous.
You got to grow more heads these days. The golfing world is so busy.
So, whereabouts in Cornwall are you going?
Porthtowan.
It's lovely down there. They're beautiful.
I think 80-mile-hour winds will be greeting us when we get there.
Yeah, but a change of scene does you well, though. I mean, I'm up north and it's lovely. I went to Barnsley versus Shrewsbury yesterday.
Oh,
I went to Oakwell for the first time, and today I'm off to Pontefract Races. So,
ah, oh, lovely! Yeah,
looking forward to that no end. Have you been
so
to Pontefract?
So much friendlier up there, aren't they?
Oh, honestly, they really are. They really,
they've been
really are.
Talking to you. They've been talking to you.
Oh, they're just so nice. Everyone was really helpful, guiding me towards where my seat was, and it's brilliant. It's really, there's such nice people up here. It's great.
I've never been to Ponty.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I hope you back some winners. Yeah, bet responsibly.
Will do, mate. And we will be back next week to do it all again, won't we?
We will, yeah. We'll have a quadruple header. And I'll be fresh as a daisy for it.
Nice one. Okay, Steve, thank you very much. Thank you to our lovely producer, Will Carey. Most of all, though, thank you for listening. Don't forget, get your comments in. Let us know who you fancy this week. And if you nail the winner at a big price, we'll give you a shout out. That's it for the Sweet Spot. We're back next week for four tournaments.